This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
Let me invite our sister Mason to come read from John chapter 6.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of John chapter 6, and I will read from verse 25 to verse 35. If you're using the Bibles in the service hall, please turn to page 1070. 1070. John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is God's word.
Thank you for reading. I'll pass the time now to Pastor Andrew to bring us the sermon.
Hey, usually when you meet someone for the very first time, what do you ask them? Usually you ask them things like, "Who are you? What do you do? Are you single? Are you married?" And usually, how do you reply? You'll say, "I am doing this. I am so-and-so. I am single or married," right? So like if it's, for instance, you were to meet me for the first time, I would say, "I'm Andrew. I'm a pastor. I am a father. I am a husband." Now, I want you to just think for a moment, just a moment for yourself. How would you see yourself when someone asks you that question, "I am what? I am what? What is your identity? What are you? I am what?" Now, today, as we look at today's passage, it really comes down to this question of I am. Who am I, right? Because as we come to the Gospel of John, one of the good things that we do at church is that we do what's called expository preaching. So we try to go through it chapter by chapter by chapter every week as we come to church. But I think that when the Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John, he actually meant for us to read it through over and over again, like through the whole book, over and over again, just read and reread the book. And as we do so, what you'll find is something really interesting, because there's a whole lot of these I am statements. And that's what we're going to look at today in today's sermon. So I want us to follow. You're going to have to follow a little bit on the screen because it's not by chapter by chapter. You're really going to have to look through it in terms of following what he says. So it's recorded for us in the Gospel of John. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 6. And then he says in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world." And then John chapter 10, "I am the gate for the sheep." And then John chapter 10 again, "I am the good shepherd." And then In John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And then John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the first thing we notice about these I am something statements about Jesus is that there are seven of them. Seven of them. And actually, in the Gospel of John, as in the whole of the Bible, seven is a really important number. It's symbolic of fullness, completion, finality. So it's not as if we imagine Jesus only said this seven times, but John, in collecting the writings, in his collecting his sayings of what Jesus was saying, has actually put down seven significant I am sayings of Jesus. And the reason why John does this is to communicate to us as readers that these I am sayings are really important, right? Because the seven number signifies that this is something that we really need to pay attention to. Okay, so what are these seven I am something sayings? Now, as we look then at this I am something sayings, it's supposed to be very significant, very important, something very impressive for us to learn about Jesus. And so the first thing we learn when we look at these seven I am something sayings is that Jesus is actually saying he's the Savior. Now, I want us to pay close attention to every one of these seven I am something sayings. All of them have the message of Jesus being the Savior. I mean, obviously, if you've gone through the Bible studies, you've come to the sermon series, you'll know about these I am sayings. But as we go through them in sequence, it really impresses on us how every one of them is about Jesus saving. So it says there, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jesus is saving people from death to life, right? He's giving them not bread, a physical bread and water which nourishes life, but gives eternal life to those who are suffering death. Jesus goes on to say, I am the light of the world, right? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Jesus is saying that we live in darkness. We live in the darkness of sin and judgment and condemnation by God. In Jesus, he comes as the I am, the light of the world, which brings people out of this dark world into the light of life. Jesus goes on to say, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. See, here's the clearest communication of how Jesus comes as the I am person to save people. It's only through Jesus that we come into the sheep pen of Jesus' sheep, where salvation can be found. Jesus goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus talks about how he's going to the cross to die as a substitute so that his sheep can actually be saved because Jesus has paid for their sins and their judgment. I am the resurrection and life, Jesus says. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Tremendous, right? To what Jesus is saying here, the moment you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. You will move from death to eternal, everlasting life. Jesus goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way that we are saved and redeemed from this broken world to come to the Father's house is through Jesus. And last of all, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And what he's saying here, obviously we haven't come to this passage yet, is that only in Jesus will we be like the vine of God, where God looks after this plant and all the other plants are actually rejected. And so every one of these images, every one of these pictures is a salvation picture, right? It's a salvation image. And why we are to pay attention to this is because Jesus is trying to make very clear that what he is doing, what he has come to do, is to save. Now, this is important for us in two ways, because the first way is that it teaches us that we cannot save ourselves, right? In every one of these I am sayings, Jesus is saying plainly to us that we are saved because we believe in Jesus as Savior. Because we are good people, we're moral people, we're ethical people, and that we can save ourselves. No, it is because Jesus is the I am something. And therefore, he is the one that saves. He is the one that we turn to. The second thing I think which is important for us then is to see that our greatest need is for a Savior. See, we sometimes think that there are lots of important things that we need in life. Maybe we need more time, more holidays, more money, better marks at school. But sometimes the things which are invisible to us are our greatest needs. And these seven I am sayings of Jesus tell us that our greatest need is for salvation. For salvation. And that's what Jesus has come to give us. And that's why we believe in Jesus, right? We believe in Jesus primarily because he is the Savior. He is the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. I'm the good shepherd. All of these things are telling us our greatest need is for a Savior. And that's why the purpose of the writing of the Gospel of John, at the very end of John, tells us that our believing in Jesus is so that we may have life in Jesus' name. Now, if you think about it, let's say your house is on fire and a fireman comes to you to save you. You don't ask the fireman, oh, you know, on your way out, could you kind of like fix my TV because it's not working very well? Or, you know, my toilet is leaking, could you kind of fix my toilet? Or, you know, maybe, I don't know, my furniture is not, you know, sitting very well, could you fix it? No, right? Because the job of the fireman is to rescue you. And I think in these seven I am sayings, we have to see that the main task of Jesus is rescue, is salvation, is to save us. Now, I want us to go a bit deeper into the text, and you know, because we're doing a topical today, it allows us to do so. I want us to pay attention to the sequence of these I am sayings. Now, in John chapter 5, Jesus begins to introduce this idea about how the things that he does only because he's the Son and he sees the Father doing. John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Now, pay attention to me. This is John chapter 5, right? And so, it is only after John chapter 5 that Jesus starts using all these I am sayings. I am this, I am that. And I think what's actually meant for us to happen here is we're actually meant to see that all these things that Jesus does, that he is the bread of life, he is the light of the world, he is the good shepherd, all these things actually echo back to what God has already done when God saved his people in the Exodus out of Egypt into the promised land. And so as we were going through the Gospel of John, I'm sure many of you can remember when Jesus fed the people in the desert, he was actually saying, look, I'm actually doing what God did when he fed the people, when they took the people out of Egypt through the desert into the promised land. As God gave manna to his people, it was actually pointing forward to Jesus who gave the bread of life. So the Exodus, in a sense, is like the shadow. The fulfillment is actually the coming of Jesus. Jesus is like the ultimate rescue to which the Exodus was actually pointing to. So Jesus says, I am the light of life. But actually, if you remember back in the book of Exodus, what were the Israelites following? They were following God in the pillar of fire. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the gate for the sheep. All the way through the Old Testament, God is actually described as the good shepherd. Now, what this really means is that when Jesus comes to save people, he's not doing it in isolation. He's not doing it as kind of like a standalone thing by itself, right? But it's actually the climax of what God has actually been doing all the way through the Old Testament. That God, through the Exodus, was saving people, rescuing people, setting people free, and leading them home. And so Jesus is actually doing the fulfillment of that. He's actually rescuing people, setting people free, and leading them home. Now, we can see this even more. And again, I need to concentrate just a little bit more for me. Because when you look at these I am sayings, you'll notice that if you read through them, they all come within the context of John describing when this is happening. This is all happening while the Jews were celebrating the Passover festival, the festival of the tabernacles, the festival of dedication, and again, when the Greeks were worshiping at the festival. So what this is actually meaning is every time Jesus is speaking about these Exodus fulfillment things, he's speaking to the Jews who are celebrating the Passover. They are celebrating the Exodus rescue. And so what's actually happening is, as Jesus is doing these things, what Jesus is doing is inviting them to reflect, to see how what God did at the Exodus rescue, Jesus is fulfilling in its ultimate form now that he's here. And so that's what we see here in the challenge, right, for the Jews. As Jesus is making all these I am statements during these Passover festivals, these festivals of dedication, these tabernacle festivals, he's actually inviting the Jews, as they are celebrating their Exodus remembrance of God's rescue, to challenge them to believe in Jesus because he's the one who does the ultimate rescue. Now, I think this is really important for us because just last week, I remember, a few days ago, there was a guy sitting across from me, and he was getting quite upset and angry with me because we were having this discussion about Christianity. And I challenged him. I said, okay, ask me anything you want, right? Like, he said, you know, I'm very unhappy with Christians and Christianity. I said, okay, just ask me whatever you want. And the main reason why he was unhappy was he said, why is it God favors only the Jews? Why is it he only favors the Israelites? Why is it he gave them the special land? Right? Why is it everybody else is not favored like Israel? And obviously, you know, he was unhappy with what's happening in the war in Gaza at the moment right now. But I think the mistake for this guy who was so angry was that he was only looking at the Old Testament. He was only looking at God's Exodus rescue. But he couldn't actually see that that was just the shadow, the fulfillment to which the Exodus rescue of the Israelites was pointing to was Jesus, God's own Son, coming to the world to rescue the whole world, including Gentiles like us today. Now, it's really something that, if you reflect on it, is mind-blowing, right? Because in the whole sweep of history, if you believe in Jesus, Jesus is actually part of this rescue, setting people free and bringing us home. That is like the direction of God's time and history. And I think that's very important for us because in our day-to-day living, especially in the world that we live in, actually, I just spoke to someone just before service started today who says they don't read the news anymore because it's too depressing. And it can be very depressing, right? You read the news and you think, the whole world is actually on a downward spiral. You read of people being very depressed because we live in a world which is aimless, meaningless, directionless. Or if there is a direction, it's just going downhill. But actually, if you believe in Jesus, if you understand how Jesus is the fulfillment of this Exodus rescue, you actually see that by believing in Jesus, there is direction in your life. It's like God, in the whole scope of history, is rescuing you, setting you free from all the sin and problems and death in this world, and leading you to himself. Now, isn't that wonderful, what it means to be a Christian then? That we're not actually beset by all the problems that we read about in the newspaper because we actually see that God has a much bigger plan for us as Christians. Now, if there's the I am sayings in the Bible, then there is another set of I am sayings. Okay, now you're all very confused, right? So in these I am sayings in the Bible, in John's gospel, it says, Jesus says, I am something. I am the bread of life. I'm the light of life. I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. But there's another series of sayings in John's gospel where Jesus says, I am. He didn't say, I am something. He just says, I am. So in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman says to Jesus, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I'm the one speaking to you. I am he. Now, actually, this is the beginning of the I am statements, because in the English translation, it's kind of like translated for you as I am he. But what Jesus actually says is, the one speaking to you, I am. Again, in John chapter 6, when the disciples had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching on the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. And he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Again, literally what Jesus says is, I am, don't be afraid. John chapter 8, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Again, Jesus literally says, if you do not believe that I am, you will indeed die in your sins. Again, John chapter 8, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. John chapter 13, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. Whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Again, the translation kind of like flattens it out, but what Jesus says is, when it does happen, you will believe that I am. And lastly, before Jesus died, I am he, Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, literally, Jesus says, I am, Jesus said. And when Jesus said, I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, if you again notice this, if you can count to 7, you'll notice that there are 7 of these I am statements, right? Again, John is trying to tell us that this is really important, that Jesus keeps saying to us, to the readers, that he is the I am. Now, why is this so important, and why does John keep emphasizing this? It is because in the Old Testament, when God introduces himself to the Israelites for the very first time, how does he say his name is? Who is he? When Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, God says that his covenant name, right, the way that Israel, his people, are to understand him, how to address him, he is the I am. And so what Jesus is saying when he says, I am, is actually really significant. He's saying that he is God, he is divine. And it then helps us to understand then, when we look at this passage, that every time he uses this I am statement, he's actually referring to him as God, because every time it's within the context of doing God-like things. So the Samaritan woman says, show us the Christ. And he says, I am. He walks on water. And he says, I am. He says, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. He is the I am. Before Abraham was born, I am, right? Obviously, only a divine person can be still alive when Abraham was existence like thousands of years ago. Again, when he says, unless you believe that I am, you will not come to the Father. And then when even the soldiers come to Jesus, when he says that he is the I am, they fall down at his feet because he is like God. And so if the first part then of the I am say something sayings are to challenge us to see what Jesus is doing, then the I am statements are actually telling us who Jesus is, and he is God. And so for the Jews, they have a choice. They either believe in Jesus, bow down before him as God, or they will accuse him of blasphemy. Now, my dad was telling me this story. I don't know whether it's true or not, many years ago, but it's such a funny story, it stuck with me. He said that he was in America with this bunch of friends. And so one of his friends, was some big shot rich person, went to the air stewardess at the counter wanting to get an upgrade or priority seats. And so they were like having a long discussion and he was arguing for quite a long time. And so my dad's friend said, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" And so, you know, in America, they don't respond well to these sort of things. And so the air stewardess put the mic. You know, they have these mics, right, where they speak to the whole group of people. And says, "Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please?" He said, "Can someone please help this person? He doesn't know who he is," right? Now, I sometimes wonder whether, for ourselves, we struggle with thinking that we are big shots, that our I am is so big that we cannot see who Jesus' I am really is. You see, for the Jews, right, why did they reject Jesus? Because they thought that their I am was greater than what Jesus was saying about himself. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Jew. I'm a priest. I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus to be the I am, the light of the world, or the bread of life. I don't need for Jesus to tell me what to do, because at the end of the day, I believe that my I am is greater than Jesus's I am. And I wonder whether that's the same for us sometimes, right? When I asked you for your introduction, what would you say that your I am is? Sometimes for ourselves, we think that our I ams are so big that we cannot see the I ams of Jesus. And that instead of surrendering and bowing down before Jesus, the I am, and seeing that Jesus is the only way to be saved, we actually think that we don't need Jesus because we think that our I ams are greater than his. But the Gospel of John actually tells us that we need to believe in Jesus, that he is the Savior, that we need to bow down to Jesus because he is truly the Son of God. See, at the end of the day, what exactly is our belief in Jesus? I remember many, many years ago when I used to go to a mission school, my relationship with Jesus was I would only pray and believe in Jesus before my exams. I would think that, okay, Jesus, I will try to be a very good boy for 1 week if you let me do well my exams. And, you know, after I do well or do badly, I kind of forget what I promised anyway. Right? I realized recently, reading this book, that that's actually called folk Christianity or magic Christianity. And this guy was actually saying that for many people, their belief in Jesus is no more than a folk Christianity or magic Christianity. Because we fail to actually see who Jesus really is when he says that I am these things and the I am. We only believe in Jesus as somebody who's like a magic Jesus, a small magic Jesus who we turn to when we need help with our very trivial problems. But Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is God. This is who he really is. Magic Christianity, folk Christianity, will not help us get salvation. It will not rescue us. It will not give us eternal life. It is only when we really understand who Jesus is in the I am sayings and the I am statement and bow down and worship him that we are really Christians in his eyes. In conclusion, I lent this book recently to someone, and I kind of quickly reread it before I passed it on. What is the most traumatic thing that would happen to you day to day in your own life, which would cause you to struggle with your faith? Maybe, you know, you have a big disappointment, you have a health scare. I don't know. Maybe some great tragedy befalls you. This guy who wrote this book called Lament for a Son actually experienced a great crisis of faith because his son died in a climbing accident in America. Anyway, you can buy this book or you can borrow from me one day, but it's very, very heartfelt. When you read it, you can't help but feel the weight of his sadness and his struggle. The only way he got back to being strong and believing in Jesus again by the end of the book was to actually come back to what we are learning today. That is only when he came back to seeing that Jesus was truly the Savior and Jesus was truly God, and that he would see his son again in heaven. That was what actually brought him back to being a Christian. See, in our day-to-day lives and our struggles, a small magic Jesus and a big I am for me is not actually going to help us persevere in our faith, and neither is it actually going to save us. It is only when we see how small we are as I am and see how big Jesus is when he says, I am doing all these things and I am the I am, that actually will help us to actually see Jesus for who he truly is, bow down before him, believe in him, and to actually be saved and rescued and to be led home, just like God is intending Jesus for him to do for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come before you today, we truly want to pray that you will help us to reflect a lot more on these I am statements in the Gospel of John. Help us to see that Jesus comes as your Exodus rescuer, that he is the one to whom your great saving act to the Jews, the Israelites, points to. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate. He is the good shepherd. He is the true vine. Dear Father, help us to see that we cannot save ourselves. It is only through believing in Jesus as Savior that we can be saved. Help us to see how impressive and significant and truly important Jesus is as your fulfillment of the Exodus rescuer. That we're not living meaningless, directionless lives in a world which is going down and down, but rather as part of your control over history, we're looking forward to a glorious future where we will return home to you. Dear Father, help us to see that Jesus is the great I am. He is you. He is God. He is the revelation of God in himself. Dear Father, help us to see that in the face of Jesus as I am, our own I ams are meaningless and nothing. As we see how great Jesus is as God come into this world, help us to surrender and bow down before him. Help us to let go of our own small little magic Jesuses. Help us not to seek to just manipulate Jesus for the things that we want, but to really see that he is God in the world. And that by believing in him truly, we will be saved. We will have rescue and we will come back to you. And we pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the sermon. And Pastor has prepared for us a question to think through and help us respond to what we've heard. So let me read the question for us. How has Jesus' I am statement encouraged your belief and faith in Jesus? Let's take about 5 minutes and discuss this with the people next to you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.